But just to pray, I'm going to teach a few simple thoughts tonight. I want to help keep you strong in the work that God has done in so many lives here. I'm going to call this Breaking Down the Satanic View of God. And it's going to make sense, I hope, in a moment. But just the Bible says that we need to be aware of Satan. We're not ignorant of his devices. And so this is something I think will help us to recognize different ways that Satan tried to dupe us in. Because if you're saved, Satan has no power over you. He has no authority over you any longer. Only thing he can do is try to trick you in to surrendering your power. You know, I used to watch a lot of movies, and I can think of different times and where somebody, some guy had a gun, and they would bring in a certain person to try to talk them into laying their gun down. You know, and if they really knew, and there were some situation that they would show how desperate the situation was, and really the people could not stop the person, but had the person just talked them into laying their gun down. This person with the gun happened to be the enemy, and the good guy talked them out of it. But Satan is the bad guy that's trying to talk us into laying our weapons down. And I want you to receive something tonight that I think will really help you and keep you going forward and keep you strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So in John chapter 10, we'll just pray and we'll look through a few verses here and just have a few thoughts to help you along the way. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, keep thy children strong and use your word tonight to do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us, first of all, we'll just read through this and beginning a few thoughts we'll look for. I want you to notice about Satan here. Number one, the entrance of the thief. The Bible calls him a thief. And it says, verily, John 10 and verse 1, verily, verily, I say to you that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Basically, the way the thief gets in is any way except but through Jesus Christ. He does that in your life. He tells us we can get to God any way except but through Jesus Christ. These are simple, fundamental things to start with. And he's always trying to get you and I to move, to live a life without Jesus Christ being at the center. Satan is crafty. He won't tell us out and out deny Christ, but he'll just try to convince us that we can have the life that God really wants us to have without Christ being centerpiece, center focus. And he tells us, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And so Satan tries to, he gets into the presence of the sheep without going through Christ, because he can't go through Christ. A thief is, by definition, one who takes the property of another wrongfully, either secretly or by violence. Satan can't really violently take anything from us, but he can secretly deceive us. But he comes in saying, smoothly, coming, trying to get to us to some way other than Jesus Christ. Number two, just notice the interaction between the shepherd and the sheep. It says, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The one that's trustworthy, the one that's always saying that Jesus is the answer, coming through the door, coming through the door. And you and I, as we encourage one another, we say Jesus is the answer. We come to the door. Jesus is the center point. He's the chief cornerstone, the Bible says. Notice in verse 3, to him the porter opened. And the porter is the one that has the charge of the door. And so the porter opens the door to the shepherd because he's coming in the right way. And it says the sheep hear his voice. Now sheep actually know who the shepherd is. They can recognize his voice. My sheep know my voice and they follow me, Jesus says. He calleth his own sheep by name. The shepherd interacts in a personal way with the sheep. He knows them by name. He knows them. He personally knows them. We know our shepherd. He knows he's numbered the hairs of our head. That's how intimately he knows you and I. And he numbers it. It says, not only the sheep hear his voice, but it says, then the shepherd, in verse 3, he leadeth them out. The shepherd leads them. Our Savior, the door, the chief shepherd, he's led the way of life. He doesn't have his own doctrine. He doesn't have his own agenda. He doesn't have his own will. He doesn't please himself. He leads the way in absolutely every way. That's what our shepherd does. And he's going through the door to do that. And then he says, not only does sheep hear his voice, but it says in verse number 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The sheep recognize the voice because they heard it before. When you and I have been born again, there's a distinct voice that calls us, and so we understand that day that, like I said on Sunday, for whatever reason, the time you got saved, you knew that if you believed on Christ, God would do it. And you heard the message before, but that day you knew that if you just called it by faith, it would be over, it'd be sealed, it'd be settled. That's, I know that voice. And so the interaction is a familiar voice, a voice we know, and a voice we should trust and believe in. Now, I'm thinking about sheep, and as you think about how Satan tried to distract or destroy God's sheep, sheep, from my understanding, only move by one of two ways. Now, from my understanding, sheep, they can be in the pasture, and they will eat all the grass in the pasture, and they won't move. They'll stay there and die in that pasture unless they're led to go somewhere else. So sheep only move either by fear or by fellowship. So if the wolf comes, now generally the wolf gets so close he can already get the sheep, but by the time when he attacks, then the sheep actually will run. So by fear or by fellowship. And of course we're the servants of God. We are supposed to follow the Lord. So Satan is going to try to move us by fear. It's a fellowship. See, our interaction with the shepherd is a voice that is following his leadership out to somewhere. We're following him to where he's at. Now, notice the methods of the sheep. The methods of the sheep. Now, it tells us here in verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So Jesus is the door. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, notice this is how it works, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, I wrote down a few things that commonly are said about God, okay, that why I call this breaking down the satanic view of God. Now, okay, the thief steals. That, and I've heard people say, and I've said this myself in the past, why is God taking this from me? Or I'd say God is not fair. If God's not fair, that means he's taking something that's not rightfully his. Or he's allowing something to happen that's not fair. And then, I can't possibly live the way God expects me to. The thief steals and he kills. That means, okay, if I can't live this way, that means I die. God's will kill me. And you may never have said that, but some people have kind of thought that. Man, there's no way I can ever. How does God expect me to live like this? I've said that in the past. I've counseled people that have said that. And also, to kill means, this is a good look at the definition. To kill means to deprive of life in any manner. To deprive of life in any manner. And by any means. God is ruining my life. The thief came to destroy. God destroyed my life. The will of God is just destroying my life. We won't say it in those words, but these are ways when God is trying to lead us to new heights that sometimes we equate God with the thief. As if the will of God could, if God could actually steal something from us or take something from us, or as if the life that God wants us to live will actually be harmful or detrimental to us. And God's not like that. The Bible says that for the Lord God is the sun and the shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold for them to walk uprightly. The Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift coming from above. And as you think about that, and we think about the method of the thief, and now I want you to turn to Genesis, and this is what I want you to think about. Now the Bible said, now Jesus says here, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Notice the Savior here. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now turn to Genesis chapter 3. And this is pretty much the message. Like I said, God knew we need to pray a lot longer. And it's funny, I never try to fill the time when I feel like I have something real short. And so I'm glad this worked out the way it is. But I want you to take this as a power pack to help protect you if you really think about it. Now we're talking about the methods of the shepherd. The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, we see Satan, how he brought the curse upon us. And he says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now, okay, first thing that Satan does in his method is, he says this. You ought to write these down if you do write stuff down. God is keeping you from something that is rightfully yours. God is keeping you from something that is rightfully yours. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Well, why not? And remember, Satan is a thief now. But he's making God out to be the thief. Because that tree, you can have that tree. There's no reason you can't have that tree. That's yours. Why is it that God won't let you have that tree? God is keeping you from something that's rightfully yours. Number two, notice verse 3 again. This is, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, yet lest ye die. Verse 4, Satan says, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Number two, God is not trying to protect you from death. God is not trying to protect you from death. Okay, God says, don't touch that, that you'll die. God says, all the wages of sin is death. No, surely that, but not that sin. God is not trying to protect you. The thief cannot but for the steal and to kill. So they're going to experience death because of the thief. But Satan is trying to get you not to believe that when God tells us to stay away from something sinful, that God is not trying to protect you from death. The things that we denounced, if you're not careful, already in a short period of time, some of them could already crept back into your life. It's easy fix. Just repent. Amen. That's all you got to do. Repent. Don't get caught up on it. Just repent. Don't believe Satan's lie that God is not trying to protect you from death. Number three and the last thing. And this, I want you all to write this down. Write in your heart if you don't write it down. Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. God is trying to keep you from an abundant life. God is trying to keep you from an abundant life because he said, you know, God does know that if you eat this and you have this, you'll be as gods. And what is God? What did Jesus, we just read what Jesus said, but I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. And so Satan enters in and takes the will of God for your life, which is the only way you can have an abundant life. And he gets you and I to look at that and say, God's not trying to give you an abundant life through that. And he says, that will of God, God's not trying to protect you from death. That sin he's trying to keep you away from, God's not trying to protect you from death. And you can have that. Other people do that. You can have that. Why not you? He makes God out to be the one that steals and kills and to destroy. And that's how he works. That's how many people stay paralyzed in their sin, because they listen to Satan's lies and what seems to be the will of God, because Satan has added his twist to it. Then all of a sudden, the perfect will of God seems like that which is going to destroy us. And the perfect will of God also seems like man, we're really missing out on something. Then we get to the place where, well, God's not really trying to give me an abundant life. God is keeping me from an abundant life. Now, we may not ever actually say these things, but the reality is that's what Satan did when he deceived them. And what happened was Satan basically turned the tables. And when Adam and Eve heard about God, they didn't realize it, but they saw God as Satan, because they saw God as the one that was stealing something from them. Why couldn't they have that tree? Why can we have everything else but not that? They saw God as the one that was not really their protector. God was not their shepherd. He wasn't trying to keep them from death. He was trying to keep them from something that, I don't know. And then it got to the end where, you know, God's real whole agenda is that he really doesn't want you to enjoy this earth and to enjoy life. Because he knows that when you eat that tree, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Our Savior said, "The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy." He said, "But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." And we have to be very, very cautious. His vices are pretty crafty. I mean, I can think of times in my life that where the Spirit of God would say something, the Word of God would say something, and you say, "Well, God, well, how come I can't have that?" You don't have the answer, but you ever say this? "Well, so and so seems to have that. Don't seem to be hurting them." Or so and so is doing that. Don't seem to be hurting them. But you don't know what's going on. But you and I don't have no idea what's going on inside of so and so's heart. And we don't have any idea how that very thing they have that it looks like it's not hurting them, how they're tormented because they have it. And you ever think that, you know, man, Lord, well, if I keep living like this, I'm going to die. You know, I've felt that way before. You know, Lord, if I really do what you're expecting me to do, there's no way I'll survive. I can say honestly, well, for me, I can say, you know why I said that? I was trying to do his will in the flesh instead of through the Spirit. Of course, you try to do God's will with your own power. You can't do it, you know. It's just like when I used to, install air conditioners, you know. There's certain conditioners you could pick up, but sometimes we had to have machinery for some of them, you know. When you put one of those things on the rooftop, you don't say, hey, Bob, catch this thing. You bring it, something, you haul that thing up the roof. You know, if I try to do it in my strength, the job's never getting done, you know. And when we try to live God's way in our strength, yeah, it will break us down. It will allow us to crumble. That's why, again, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a daily decision. It's a yielding. I think about this, you know, there's two or three here tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus is in the midst. The only question is, when is he allowed to move and do exactly what he wants to do? Can he move through my heart and say, "That's sin, Reinhard Harper"? Can he purge me here? Can he purge me? Can he lead me? And can he do what he wants to do? And then I thought, man, Lord. And I remember first time I thought that. I remember one time, I wish my church sent statements back from when all the tithes and missions offerings that we give. I mean, the first time I got one of those back, I thought across my mind, man, look what I could do with all that money. I thought, man, I could be out of debt if I just stopped tithing for a couple of years. I could pay off other people's bills if I did that, stop tithing, giving to missions. But you know what? No, I wouldn't, because it'd go into a bag with holes in it. You know, but you know what I'm saying is that, man, this will of God is really keeping me back from really freedom. And that's what he told the man. Do you know if you just eat that tree, the whole world will be yours, the knowledge you'll have, the wisdom you have, you know, good and evil, the things you can do. So he said, God is trying to keep you from an abundant life. God is not trying to protect you from death. And God is keeping you from something that's rightfully yours. And then before you know it, in our world, is for the most part, That's how they really view God. If you think about it, I don't know what you were like before you got saved, but some of the things that kept you from giving your life to Christ was that you thought, well, if I give my life to Christ, I won't be to have this or have that. Or, you know what, I'm not really sure that there really is a hell. God sent Jesus, but did he really send him to rescue me from hell? Is God really trying to save me from death? And then you look at everything else, you think, man, all this stuff you want to do, because that's what advertisement's all about. I mean, you think about it, 24/7, you can see sin any direction you want to. You can see covetous any way you want to look. You just pick your sin any direction you want to look, man. And everywhere you turn, you think about the power that God has for you and I. Think about the power of the Holy Ghost for a second. With all the sin that's around us, we're still in church tonight. Praise God. I mean, every return, that's the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That in the midst of all the enticements, every direction that pulled you there, it's the Holy Ghost said, you need to go. And he said, yes, Lord. And he came anyway. Amen. By the grace of God, that's the power of the Holy Spirit of God. If he can keep us sane and stable, imagine what he could do if we just completely yield to a regular basis. But God is not the thief. God has not come to kill you. God has not come to destroy you. God has come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So the next time the Spirit of God presses upon you the will of God, and from your personal estimation, it looks like, wow, that's not good for me. Remember what the thief is trying to do to you. When God is trying to work an abundant life in you, the thief steals and kills. He's trying to take that very life from you. In a few moments of time, an eternity of bliss and peace in a world that God spoke into existence was removed from Adam and Eve. And God wants you and I to walk in an abundant life. You know, if you're saved tonight, you think about when you got saved, how free you were, how everything just seemed so simple, and how peaceful it was, and that really can be maintained through the power of the Holy Spirit. We misuse so many passages of Scripture. I was reading through the Bible, meditating on the book of Romans. You know, we like to, if you read Romans 6 through 8 is some of the most victorious passages in all the Word of God. Talk about how he that is dead is freed from sin. But we look at this little passage about Paul when he said, for the wood that I do not, and the wood I do, that do I. If you might know what I'm talking about, where he has a discourse. He said, well, I'm really trying to do right and I can't seem to do it. Now, if you really study that and look at that in the context, now Paul's writing to the Romans that were under the law. And he's identifying with them the life without the law. If you study that out, you realize that he's talking about, he said, this is the war that goes on with when you're under the law. But, he said, but I thank God through Christ Jesus my Lord. You know, through Christ, I'm free from that. I don't have to be stuck in that battle. I can actually be the person God wants me to be. I can live the life that God wants me to live. Amen. If we don't listen to the thief, then the abundant life goes forth. How can Paul say, I finished my course, I kept the faith, I'm ready to be offered at the time of my departure's hand? Is God? We know that God's no respecter of persons, so surely we can do that too. How can Old Testament saint Joshua wholly follow the Lord? And we've got the Holy Spirit of God that the Bible says it lives in us, saves us, keeps us from falling. And now unto him who's able to keep us from falling. And the thief just said, no, that's... And let me tell you something that'll help you if you're believing. Don't base your Bible doctrine on what you see in other people. Base your Bible doctrine on what you see in Christ and what the Word of God says. In this room right now, there are people that God has chosen to walk a life that represents the Lord Jesus Christ in a miraculous way. And by the people, that means every single one of you. But if you and I base the power of Almighty God and what we see in others, we might as well quit right now. But when we look at the authority of His name, you know, I just can't get over the fact, I was thinking about, I've said this before, but how a lost heathen can, through the power of the name of Jesus Christ, he can cast out a devil. A lost heathen, through the power of the name of Jesus Christ, can cast out a devil. It said in Matthew chapter 7, you know, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in that name? Cast out devils in that name of many wonderful works. Kind of powerful. It's kind of like you go someplace, people, they're name droppers, you know. There's people that can get access to places that they don't know, they just drop the name, you know. I go and say, I'm Stephen Harper's brother, you know. I like to make that joke, but if I was white and Anglo-Saxon, I might have a chance of pulling off somewhere, you know. But anyway, I don't want you to miss the message. I want you to think about these things. And when God approaches you with His will, remember who the thief is, His identity. Steal, kills, destroy. God is not the thief. God will never take anything from you. If you are to give something, it's to preserve you. God will never violate you. God will never destroy you. And God will never keep you from an abundant life, because He is life Himself. He put that in you when you were born again. Father, we thank You for the Word of God tonight. We thank You for the precious, precious people. Thank You for the power of Thyself. Thank You for being a good shepherd that whose voice they followed here tonight. I pray You strengthen them absolutely where possible. I pray that somehow by the Word of God, those, if anyone came in weak, they would be made stronger tonight. And those who are under attack, I pray that through what they heard tonight, they can resist the devil and flee from him. And just rebuke him as the liar that he is. And Father, I just thank You for being a wonderful God, having the answer for us in absolutely every...